भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो नंबर 11 चैप्टर 25 टेक्स्ट नंबर 7 धर्मे चार्थे च कामे च यदा सौपरिनिष्ठिता गुणानां सन्निकर्षोऽयम् श्रद्धारतिधनावहः धर्मे चार्थे च कामे च यदा सौपरिनिष्ठिता गुणानां सन्निकर्षोऽयम् श्रद्धारतिधनावहः धर्मे चार्थे च कामे च यदा सौपरिनिष्ठिता गुणानां सन्निकर्षोऽयम् श्रद्धारतिधनावहः धर्मे इन रिलिजियोसिटी च एंड अर्थे इन इकोनॉमिक डेवलपमेंट च एंड कामे in sense gratification cha and yada when also this living entity parinishthita is fixed gunanam of the modes of nature sannikarshaha the intermingling I am this shraddha faith rati sensual enjoyment dhana and wealth avaha which each bring translation When a person devotes himself to religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification, the faith, wealth, and sensual enjoyment obtained by his endeavors display the interaction of the three modes of nature. Please repeat. When a person devotes himself to religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. The faith, wealth, and sensual enjoyment obtained by his endeavors display the interaction of the three modes of nature. So what do you understand by this verse? Person is devoting to religiosity, economic, and sense gratification. Okay, we'll read the purport first, then we can discuss. Religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification are situated within the modes of nature, and the faith, wealth, and enjoyment obtained by them clearly reveal the particular situation of a person within the modes of nature. Okay, I'll read the purport again. Religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification are situated within the modes of nature. And the faith, wealth, and enjoyment obtained from this mode of nature clearly reveal the particular situation of the person within the modes. So that's the end of the purport. Oh, good. Well, you can share your realization. It's nice.
Well, it seems like each person comes in or suffers.
This is a very good point. This is actually the subject of discussion. It's very good. So we will discuss it and then you can share your realizations. So, Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshurun Miletam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhya Shikripa Sindhu Vyacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namunama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Text number 7, this particular chapter Lord Krishna is describing to Uddhava, his friend, in this 11th canto, chapter 25. The three modes of material nature and who is captured in these three modes of material nature and how one can come out of it. That's the whole chapter discussion. Lord Krishna is talking about, just like in Bhagavad Gita also, Lord Krishna has discussed this topic in great detail. Chapter number 14 is discussing the three modes of material nature. And then he gives his final conclusion at the end of the chapter. So similarly here, even more detailed discussion, the analysis and the technology of the three modes of material nature, how these material modes work, and who is captured in these modes and who is not captured, or if you are captured, then how you can release yourself. That is the subject matter. So everybody is an individual and everybody has to think for himself or herself individually. Because the three modes of material nature are affecting everyone, whoever comes to this material world. First of all, as we have already studied, the living entity, the conditioned soul, when he is agreeing to surrender to the false ego, ahankara, when he says that it is all right, I can be a slave of false ego. I'm a spirit soul, but I want to forget that. And I just want to take up a new identity, a false identity or a temporary identity, in order to fulfill my material desires. Then he is given the false ID or false ego, ahankara. And when he is captured into this false ego, then he forgets automatically his original identity. And he is thinking that he's a man or a woman, or American, or Russian, or Indian, or African, a male, female, different kind of, he's stuck with that identity and everybody solidifies his false identity. Yes, you are a man. Yes, you are a woman, etc. So, this whole, and now the purpose of your life is to enjoy with your senses. So everybody confirms that in the society. So this is the whole kingdom of material energy, and the material energy is made of these three modes, sattva, rajas, tamas. goodness, passion, and ignorance. So that is being discussed here. And according to the good books of knowledge, there is the discussion of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So Lord Krishna is addressing the dharma, artha, and kama. Kama means sense enjoyment. Dharma means religiosity. This is the mundane religiosity Krishna is talking about. Not the real dharma of the soul, but the mundane religiosity. And artha means economic development. So that I can enjoy the material world, or I can fulfill my material desires, I need some money. I need some resources. So that is artha, economic development. And for that, I must perform some dharma or some religious action. So now, Krishna, he is describing it in more detail. What a person in goodness, sattva gun, what is the religiosity for him? What is the religiosity for the person in passion? And what is the religiosity for person in ignorance? So, can you say that somebody can be completely in goodness, or somebody can be completely in passion, or somebody can be completely in ignorance? No. That is not likely to happen. Because these modes are always competing against one another, these three modes. And therefore they produce different combinations. How many combinations are there? There are 8,400,000 general combinations. Then there can be even more divisions. But according to these combinations, there are species of life. So these three modes, they are combining in different proportions, like percentage-wise. If you say that 33% of goodness, 33% of passion, and 33% of ignorance, and the total is 100%, is it possible? No. Normally, it's not like equal amount of goodness. I want to have a balance in my life, so I'll have 33.33% goodness and also 33% passion, 33% ignorance. No, it doesn't work like that, because they are competing against one another. And according to your surrounding, according to your company that you have, according to the karmic baggage that you have been carrying from your last life or last seven lifetimes, you will have a package of three modes. It may be 30% or 40% goodness, or 50% goodness, 20% of passion, 20% of ignorance, whatever the combination may be. But the combination is decided by so many different factors. And that also can change according to the company you keep. If you come in good company, then your goodness can increase. If you go into bad company, then your ignorance and passion will increase and goodness will decrease. So, this is the package deal in the material world that everybody is going through. But generally speaking, we see, if you go in the outside world, goodness is in shortage, short supply. And nowadays, in Satya Yuga, there was a lot of goodness, very little passion and ignorance. So everybody was peaceful and happy and meditating. We don't want to do anything. We just want to meditate. That was the whole idea in Satya Yuga, because goodness was maximum. But then as the ages progressed, then finally Kali Yuga came. And now what is more? Passion and ignorance. Goodness is less. So, Lord Krishna is discussing here that what will be the result if somebody has more goodness and less passion and less ignorance? What will goodness give you? What kind of religiosity you will have if you have goodness nature? So, because you like the life to be peaceful and happy, because you like good qualities, you develop shama, dhamma, tapa, shaucham, arjavam, titiksha. All these nice qualities Krishna is describing in this chapter and also in Bhagavad Gita. That you will be attracted to mind, controlling your mind and only having good thoughts in your mind, controlling your senses and only having good things, good taste in your life. Your senses are attracted to good music and a good tasting food, everything good, because you are trying to control your senses and mind. And similarly, you like cleanliness, you are more attracted to cleanliness, you don't like to be dirty or use dirty language, etc. So these are the qualities, and then titiksha is a very important quality, it's a tolerance. That is one quality that surpasses everything else. If you have tolerance, you can develop a lot of good qualities. And you can have very nice relationships. Because wherever you go, people will love you because you have so much tolerance. So you not only can tolerate good people, but you can even tolerate bad people. So you are popular everywhere. So these are the Krishna is describing. That if you have good nature or goodness, then these are the qualities you will be, automatically you will be attracted to. But what happens if you have a passionate nature? Passion, more of passion is increasing in your consciousness. Huh? Conflict? Yes, Krishna is mentioning you will have conflict and quarreling nature. And specifically he's mentioning lust. Kama esha krodha esha rajoguna samut bhava. Rajoguna means more of passion. Passion will give you kama, lusty desires. I want to capture this, I want to capture that, I want to capture everything. Lusting for the material objects. So, and then greed also. More and more I want material world things. Nothing makes me happy. I'm always disturbed because I want to capture more and more possessions, more and more things. And also, rajoguna is characterized by some moha, delusion. One becomes, because of this kama and loba, etc., one becomes delusional or some moha. Moha means he is now completely forgetfulness of what is good and bad, and is attracted to the things that will hurt him. So this is what Krishna is describing in this chapter. And then the third quality, that is tamogun. In tamogun, what will happen is one will be drawn towards darkness. Tama means darkness and destruction. Means one will be tamas. Tamas, in Sanskrit the word is called tamas. Is there an English word tamas?
It's a name.
It's a name, but there is no actually Sanskrit word like tamas. Sanskrit, it is tamogun is described as tamas. And rajogun is described as rajas. So, this tamas is causing sleep and indolence, laziness, and intoxication, getting attracted to drugs and liquor, beer, wine, intoxicating beverages, etc. And one becomes very angry very easily, and he hates everybody and everything. In depressed situation, he likes intoxication. So the life of tamogun prevalence or the life of more of darkness is quite a miserable life. And it is very close to animal life. Animals are always in ignorance mostly, and little bit of passion. Tigers and lions, they have more passion. They have also a lot of ignorance. They sleep a lot. But they have plenty of passion also. So, even though human being has this wonderful opportunity, but he will waste his opportunity if he is captured by these two lower qualities of passion and ignorance. So, Lord Krishna is describing everything in detail here, that what will be the result if you are captured by these lower qualities, what will be the result if you are captured by the goodness quality, and what kind of religiosity you will show. A person who is in the sattva gun, what kind of religiosity he'll be performing? He will perform, he will come to the temple and perform worship to the Lord without any desire for profit. He doesn't want, he's not asking anything to Lord Krishna when he comes to temple. That is the sign of goodness person. That he's just worshipping the Lord. He's performing his duties very nicely, prescribed duties. So this is a goodness person. But if the person is captured by passion, then when he comes to temple, his religious action is like a businessman. I give you $10, my dear Lord. Now, I need to have a job. Can I have a nice job? Can I have a nice wife? A nice car, nice house, everything for $10. So, he's trying to make a business deal with the Lord. That is the religiosity in the mode of passion. And religiosity in the mode of ignorance is that I'm doing my prayer so I can kill that guy. I want to perform, I want to terrorize people on the name of religion. That is my religiosity. On the name of religion, I want to kill people. Like, you know, every week or every other day, you hear some news that some terrorist people, they go out in the open, somebody is walking on the sidewalk, they just move with their car and mow down people on the sidewalk. Or they, you know, take a bomb and they blow up themselves and they blow up so many people. So much of terrorist activity is going on right now. What is that showing? And they said, this is our religion. How that can be a religion? There's no question of religion in killing innocent people. There's no religion is prescribing that. So, but this people are captured in more of ignorance. So they think that my duty as a religious person is to kill some innocent people. So that is, Lord Krishna says, this is religiosity in the mode of ignorance. So how is this, all these things are happening, that people are captured in this stream of the material nature? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter 7th verse, Mamai vaunsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manas sthan indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. That originally this jiva, this soul, he is my amsha, he is my part and parcel. He belongs to me. But he has forgotten and he has come to this material world with a wrong conception, with a wrong mentality. And now he is struggling with his six senses and the mind. He's struggling life after life. He's thinking that he can enjoy in this material world, but the more he tries to enjoy, the more he suffers unlimited pain. So he says, Krishna says, Mamai Vaunsho. He is my part and parcel, he is my Aunsha. But he's misguided right now, he has a misconception. And now, if somebody has a deep misconception, He is captured by supposing not goodness but passion and lot of ignorance. Then Bhagavatam says in 1.227, Rajastama prakritaya samashila bhajanti ye pitru bhuta preta adi shri aishwarya prajasama. That if somebody is captured by rajas and tamas, passion and ignorance, then who he will worship? He'll worship bhuta and preta, ghost and hobgoblins, witches, etc. Especially those in the mode of ignorance, the tamas people. And the rajas people, they will try to worship the demigods. So these two kind of people, they don't agree to worship Krishna, but rather they would worship the ghost and hobgoblins. What is that festival called? It comes in October.
Halloween?
Who do they worship in Halloween? There is no worship.
But if you want to see the real ghost worship, it's on January 1st.
There are a lot of people who are right now, I mean, everywhere people, some of them, they like to worship these dark creatures or the ghost, etc.
Also the Day of the Dead.
Day of the Dead and all those things. So it is a sign of ignorance. If the person has more of ignorance, then he would be attracted automatically to worship the lower creatures. That is Bhagavatam describing. And in 1.7.5, Yaya sammohito jiva atmanam tri gunatmakam paropi manute nartham tat kritam chabipadyate. Sammohita jiva means totally he is captured by maya, by the material energy. He is sammoha. And in three guna, in these three modes of material nature, he is thinking that now he is the body, he is not the soul. Even though he is transcendental to this material energy, but he cannot understand. Paropi. And then he is ending up to perform activities, anartham, that will cause damage, cause harm to himself. So his troubles never stop because he has forgotten his original identity and is captured by these three modes of material nature. In Maya, he's suffering life after life. That is Bhagavatam saying. So then, what is the solution? Because this looks like a continuous cycle of suffering. If somebody is captured in these three modes, he's like a bound up puppet in the three modes. Like with three different ropes, if somebody is bound up tight, how he can release himself? He cannot release himself unless and until he takes shelter of the lotus feet of the pure devotee, Bhagavatam. So, Srimad Bhagavatam says, Srinvatam Swakatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridyantastoya Badrani Vidunoti Saritsitam. Srinvatam, the beginning of release is starting from hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam. Hearing from the pure devotee Bhagavat and serving Srimad Bhagavatam and serving the pure devotee Bhagavat. Punya Shravana Kirtana. So this Shravana or this hearing process and then chanting what he has heard from the pure devotee, what he has heard from Srimad Bhagavatam, when he recites that, when he chants, then all his troubles, Hridayantastho, in the heart, in the consciousness, all this abhadrani, the troubles that is not coming from outside, it is right there stored inside the consciousness. So those troubles, they go away. Vidunoti, they are washed away. Vidunoti means washed away. And he becomes very pure-hearted personality. Then in 1.218, Bhagavatam says, Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya. Now, you must, once you start this process, don't stop. Nityam Bhagavat. Every day you must serve the pure devotee and serve Srimad Bhagavatam. Nityam Bhagavat Seva. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Then you get the real benefit, real result. What is that? Naishtiki. You get the pure devotional service on the Nishta platform. Your anarthas are gone and you are entering in a very clean atmosphere, very happy surrounding. That is called Naishtiki Bhakti. That now you are getting attached to Krishna's lotus feet. And when you get attached to Krishna's lotus feet, then troubles, they cannot come near you. So Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu, all the things that give you trouble, they're almost dead or almost gone from the heart. Even if there is a little bit of dirt in the heart, it will not bother you. Nashta Prayeshu, they cannot do any damage to you. So this is the result of serving the pure devotee Bhagavat and the Srimad Bhagavatam. Every day you serve the pure devotee, every day you serve Srimad Bhagavatam. Then what happens? Describe the next verse, 1 to 19. Tada rajastamo bhava kama lobadayascha eta etai anaviddam sitam sattve prasidati. Rajas and tamas, they live. Rajastamo bhavam. And kama and loba, the troublesome people are the kama and loba. The lust and lust, anger, greed. These are the shad ripus, the six enemies sitting in the heart. They all pack up and they leave. And sitam sattva, and you are situated in shuddha sattva, pure goodness. That means now you are on the transcendental platform. After naishtiki bhakti, you enter in the spiritual realm. So your rajas and tamas go away, your kama, loba, etc. go away, and you become like a pure devotee. How you become a pure devotee? That is in the next verse, 1 to 21. Vidyate hridaya granthi chidyante sarvasamshaya kshiyante chasya karmani drashya evatman ishware. Now you become the real master. Master of your senses. Previously you are a godas, slave of your senses. But you are able to now conquer over the senses and the mind, and you establish your ownership or your mastership over the mind intelligence and senses, and you can guide them. Now the senses are not guiding you, but you are guiding your mind and the senses. Do like this, do like that. Chant Hare Krishna. And the mind says, yes sir, I will chant Hare Krishna. Previously the mind was mischievous. When you said chant Hare Krishna, mind says, I don't want to chant right now. I'll chant tomorrow. That means the mind is out of control. But after this, serving the pure devotee and Srimad Bhagavatam every day, then your mind becomes your servant. And you become the master. The soul becomes the master. Drashta evatman ishware. So this is the secret described right there by Shukdev Goswami in first canto. Chapter number 2, text number 17 to 21. The whole process is described in a summary form. That how from Rajogun and Tamogun, from these lower modes, you can not only move to the mode of goodness, but you can transcend the mode of goodness. And you can enter the pure goodness, Shuddha Sattvam. That is the spiritual platform. So, there is so much of guidance given here by Lord Krishna in Bhagavatam, particularly in this chapter, in these verses. How one can transcend this troublesome modes of material nature. Because, why the living entity is suffering in this world? Krishna buliya jiv bhoga vancha kare. Ata eva maya dare japatiya dare. Why the living entity, conditioned soul, is suffering in this world? Because he has bhoga vancha. He wants to have this false concept. He's embracing the false concept that I can enjoy in this material world. I can be the enjoyer. And the more he tries to enjoy, more he becomes unhappy. Because the material energy says, come here, you can enjoy, come here. And when he goes into the material energy, then japatiya dare, she kicks him very hard. Not just one kick, but number of kicks. Kicking after one after another, lifetime after lifetime. It's like a never-ending kicking party. So the living entity becomes out of shape, completely out of shape. His spiritual form he forgets. He doesn't even know what is my spiritual form. Instead, he takes up different forms like dogs and cats, etc. Cockroaches and ants and all kinds of different forms he takes. He's out of form because he's getting kicked by the material energy. Bhogavanchakare. Why? Because he wants to enjoy in this material world. So Maya is punishing him. How this karma acts, just in last 2 days, there was one lady, she went to the to her field, cornfield, in the early morning to give water to her corn. And in the little bit darkness, as she reached the water place and she wanted to start the watering, then the python captured her. And how big was the python? This is just, it happened in a, I forget, I saw the video, but it happened somewhere, it was a 22 feet long python. And she was captured, and actually this python swallowed her up, slowly by slowly. And then after that, the morning came and people found out, and they wanted to save the lady, so they cut open the python, but the lady was dead by that time. And, yes. Indonesian python in Texas. The small son was swallowed. Playing, the son was playing, he was swallowed up. In Everglades also, Florida also, there are pythons and they are causing trouble. They're eating animals, they're eating deer and all this. But when they eat the human beings, it's a very big deal. So this lady was captured. Because human life is very valuable and it's not supposed to be wasted. But this is the karma that can capture. It's, there are many stories about python, but there's another thing in last 2 days. One very great personality, Charles Krauthammer, a very great journalist, and he became very famous. He was even praised by the presidents of America. He got Pulitzer Prize Award and a lot of awards and everything. And he was writing a column, I think, in Washington Post. But he just, I think yesterday or day before, he died. So there was a discussion about him. This gentleman, he was an Oxford scholar. He went to Oxford and he got his very good degree. And then he came to America and then he joined Harvard Medical School. He wanted to become a doctor also, so he joined in psychiatry. He wanted to become a psychiatrist. So one day he went in the swimming pool in his college campus, and he dived, and as he dived, he had forgotten, so he had dived from the shallow side of the pool, and he bumped his head on the floor of the pool, and he broke his neck. And He could hardly come out of the water because it was a very severe injury. And after he came out, he was taken to hospital. The best doctors, they worked on him, but still he was paralyzed. And he lived the rest of the life, in a paralyzed situation on the wheelchair. But he did not give up. And he struggled and he worked very hard. He got his degree, medical degree. It's a life of a struggle, actually. But he got, and then he also became a very good journalist. And he was adored and he was praised by so many great people. Because he became a very good journalist and a very good writer, author. So he just died of cancer yesterday or day before. So people were praising him. But you can imagine that a young man, such a bright future, but he took the wrong decision to go in the swimming pool at a particular time from the wrong side of the swimming pool. And he became like handicapped person. But he did not give up and he struggled. So there is a lesson to learn here. That no matter what situation you are in life, most of the people, you can say 99%, 99.99% of the people, they are not paralyzed. So there is a lot of hope because this person, even though he was paralyzed, he actually achieved very great heights of success. So a devotee, he can never think that I'm handicapped or this or that. He can actually achieve the highest result that nobody can achieve. No scholar, no scientist, no demigod. Nobody can achieve what a devotee can achieve simply by following this process of bhakti yoga. If he is determined, if he has the willpower like this gentleman to cultivate the willpower and to cultivate the good qualities by staying in good association. Only thing you have to do, Krishna says, is remain in good association. Have good people around you, the devotees around you, and serve the nice devotees and serve Srimad Bhagavatam. That is Krishna's recommendation here. So, there is one a last story that I'd like to share with you. And it is about a story of Krishna, Lord Krishna and Radharani. That one Brahmin guy, he wanted to, he was suffering a lot. So this is in Vrindavan, this is happening in Vrindavan, when on a special occasion, Lord Krishna had a big festival. He was celebrating the coronation of Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani was put on a throne and she was declared by Krishna as the Vrindavaneshwari or as the controller of the whole Vrindavan Dham. She is the topmost. So Krishna actually performed this particular festival. If you go to Vrindavan, there is a place called Imli Tala. That is where this festival happened. Krishna had celebrated Radharani's coronation. And everybody was in a very joyous mood, very big festival. The gopis were very happy because now Krishna had agreed that Radharani is the supreme. Previously, he never agreed with that, but now he himself coronated Srimati Radharani. So that time one Brahman comes and he says, I'm very unhappy. So Krishna said, tell me, what is your problem? I can solve your problem right away. I'm very happy today and this is a very joyous occasion, so ask me anything. So he said, my daughter is a marriage age and I can't get her married because I have no money. I'm a poor man. I'm a Brahmin. So Krishna said, that's all? He said, yeah. So what do you want? So he said, well, you can give me whatever you like the best. Please give me. So Krishna said, I just coronated Radharani. Radharani, I like the best in the whole world. So I give you Radharani. So all the gopis, everybody's like, what? How can you do that? You just coronated Radharani and now you are giving her away? Krishna said, I cannot lie to him. He said, whatever is the best thing you like, you give me. So I like Radharani the best, so I have to give her away now. So the Brahman said, I have to get my daughter married and I'm already in trouble and you're giving me another trouble. This girl, what will I do with this one? Two daughters now? I can't handle one daughter and you're giving me another daughter. So then everybody's like, oh, now this is a big problem. And a Brahman, he is also in an anxiety puzzle. So then the gopis, they said, okay, what we can do is we can give the equal amount of gold and ornaments. We will bring all our jewelry and put on one side and we will put Radharani on the balance on another side. And equal to her weight, that is also considered giving away the same. It is equal to the same person. Like if you go to Tirupati in South India, Tirupati temple, they have this system. People go and they sit on the one side of the balance, and other side they bring the gold or whatever, something they want to give, donate. So that is equal to their weight. So then all the gopis said, okay, we will give Radharani in this way. We don't want to be separate from Radharani. We don't want her to live Vrindavan. So we will just give instead. And the Brahman doesn't want anyways. So that was decided. And finally, the Brahman said, yeah, that is good idea. I don't want this girl. I want the gold. I'm fine. So the issue was resolved. And Krishna is like, wow, such a nice solution they found out. That is another one that is in Dwarka. That happened, that is another episode in Dwarka, that there's a very nice story about the tulsi leaf, that the one tulsi leaf is equal to all the gold in the world. So that's some other time we can tell that. So anyway, the idea is that the gold and jewels, they don't have any comparison to Krishna and Radharani. The lotus feet, to serve the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna is the best thing one can have in this world or anywhere in the world. And to have that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given very simple idea. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Iti shodashakam namna kali kalmashanashanam nato parataropaya sarva vedeshu drishyate. That this is the 16th syllable Maha Mantra. If you chant, then Kali Yuga or no modes can harass you, no troubles can come near you. You have to just learn from the pure devotee, spiritual master, how to chant the holy name purely. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And all your problems are solved. So I will stop here. And if you have any questions or comments, then you can pick up the microphone. And then we can discuss further a little bit about this modes and how to come out of these modes of material nature. Because this is the most important topic for devotees. Because a lot of devotees sometimes they say, oh, these modes are harassing me like anything. How do I come out of this mode? So Krishna is giving the solution in this chapter. How you can be completely free from the modes of material nature. What the different modes are doing and how the people are acting in under the influence of different modes, and how as devotee you can stay away from the modes of material nature. Okay, Prabhu.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
Okay, so let's hear from Narottam Prabhu.
Oh, sorry, you guys. I have three big questions, but the first one I'll just do, then I'll turn it over to you guys. So the first question I have is, You know, there's this saying, right? A bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. So, you know, you're talking about giving up everything in the material world.
Giving up everything, I
didn't serving, say. And serving Krishna. I mean, you're saying, you know, give up your religiosity, give up your desire for economic development, give up all of these things. You know, so to me, that's my point, is that a lot of people are afraid of this. In other words, you know, you're saying give up being materialistic, giving up material enjoyment,
giving up material
for a promise of something in the future. Like, nobody can really, you know,
giving up in the everything in the material world is not our principle, by the way, because our principle is that Prabhupada said that we want more because we want to serve Krishna with whatever we can get. So the Krishna conscious philosophy is not negating the material world and things. The modes of material nature can only affect when you take proprietorship, when you agree to become slave of your false ego. Under the false ego platform, you take up a false identity and you say, I am Mr. such and such, and I want this and I want that. Then you are put under the material modes. The Maya energy captures you. But if you say that I want this for Krishna to enjoy, and therefore I want $10 or I want $100 or I want this or that for Krishna's service, then the modes cannot act on you, the material energy, because you are acting in your spiritual platform as a servant of Krishna. Jivar Swarupai Nitya Krishna Das. So the difference is there. Very big difference between the two. That give up everything, that is negation of the whole material world. I reject the whole material world. I want nothing at all. I am frustrated. I am finished. I don't want anything in the material world. Some people think like that. But in Krishna consciousness, we say that take whatever you can and use it in service of Krishna. Rupa Goswami has given this principle, Yukta Vairagya, that Ihar Yasya Harir Dasya Karmana Manasagira Nikhila Api Avastasu Yuktam Vairagya Uchate. Yukta Vairagya. So that is the idea. Yes, Prabhu? Anything?
No, that's the point I wanted to really drive home, because it seems like when you say, you know, you become a pure devotee, you come here, you're not praying for anything, you're coming here. This is what you said you're coming here and you have no desire. You're just coming to worship.
I'm not saying Krishna.
Worship Krishna. So it seems like you're becoming a non-entity, like you give no more desire, just, oh, it's so nice to see Krishna.
In the mode of goodness person, he will come to the temple. The verses are saying, describing, this is Krishna speaking to Uddhava. He says, the person in mode of goodness, he comes to the temple without any profit. He does not have desire for profit. He worships Krishna without the desire for profit. That's exactly the verse. And then he says, in the Rajogun, the mode of passion person, he wants to have profit. He wants to make business with Krishna. And that is his religiosity. And the third person, the mode of ignorance person, his religiosity is that I'll kill someone. I'll become a terrorist. So these are the verses that Krishna is talking about. So that's all I mentioned, what the verses Bhagavatam is saying.
No, my question is, I mean, even as a person in the renounced order, don't you need money to spread Krishna consciousness?
Yes, everybody needs money, except for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis. They don't need any money. Prabhupada was not so much anxious for money. He didn't have any money, but he spread the Hare Krishna movement all over the world without any money. He had only chanting bead bags and he had his Bhagavatams. But he used all the resources, whatever came to him by Krishna's arrangement, he used. So money, if you have attachment for money, you can use money in Krishna's service. There's nothing wrong. If you have attachment for wife, you can use your wife in Krishna's service. Anything, whatever you have, you can use it. If you have a car, you can use it in Krishna's service. So it's not like with or without money, that's not the question. The question is, whatever you have, use it in Krishna's service.
But it seems like there's one person that's attached and one person's not attached. It seems like one person is a mixed devotee that's dovetailing material desires and Krishna serves, and another person's a pure devotee. You know, but I mean, if you look at Prabhupada, Prabhupada seemed to use billions of dollars. He seemed like there's this conversation in a book written by His Holiness, His Grace, Burijan Prabhu, our glorious master. So Burijan Prabhu is saying, look, Prabhupada, I just want to be a full-time devotee. I don't want to work anymore. I just want to be part of the temple and preach. And Prabhupada said, but don't you think we need money for spreading Krishna consciousness? He said, your philosophy is a hippie's philosophy. He said, we actually need millions of dollars to spread this movement. So it seems like a certain, you know, I'm trying to divide this situation. On one hand, you've got somebody who's attached to their wife, attached to money, and you're saying, okay, go ahead and use it. On the other hand, we have somebody like Prabhupada that's saying, no, I want all of this. You see, where do you divide it?
Prabhupada was very practical, and he did not tell the devotees, which was something artificial. Because as devotees, we naturally want to have some, you know, ambition in life. We want to achieve something, some goals in life. So Prabhupada, he exactly knew how to engage every devotee, and some devotees, they were fully engaged in Krishna's service, and he blessed them also. And some devotees, he told them, you go out and get a job or do a business and make a lot of money and serve Krishna that way. So Prabhupada has given different directions, different instructions to so many different devotees. But the main idea is, like the example you are giving from Gurijan Prabhu's reference, that to spread the movement, we need all the money of the world, because all the money belongs to Krishna anyway. So you can go out and collect as much money as you like, and you can bring it to Krishna. You can have nice facilities for Krishna. You can build beautiful temples for Krishna, or you can get books printed for Krishna, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, etc. You can do so many things with the help of money and technology. Now, the most modern technology is available. America is the leader in technology. You can use the technology in service of Krishna. You can use money in the service of Krishna. It all depends how much you are enthusiastic to go out and work hard. Help, and you can make money yourself, or you can help others, and they can engage their money in Krishna's service. So it all depends on the individual, that, you know, how far you want to go, and then you consult with the spiritual master or with the senior devotees and figure it out, what is the best path, what is your psychophysical nature, what is the most suitable path for you that will keep you happy and peaceful. The idea is that you are able to chant Hare Krishna regardless whether you are making money or you are engaged in full-time service or you are motivating, inspiring other people. But are you able to happily pursue your bhakti yoga, your chanting, your studying Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, your progress? Because that is the first thing required, that janma sarthak kari kar parupkar. You first become perfect yourself, and then you help others. That's the idea.
So the criteria is that whether we're feeling enthusiastic.
Yes. You whatever makes you feel enthusiastic, then that is your psychophysical nature. That way you will get success. Whatever work you enjoy the best. If you are a Brahman, then you may not be so much inclined to make money, because you have so much of Brahminical qualities, then you will never be able to become very successful, no matter how much people push you to make money, but you will be drawn to Brahminical qualities. If you are a Vaishya, then no matter how much they try to make you a Brahman, but you always are thinking about business activities, then the business is the best way to serve Krishna for you. So like that, everybody has different inclination and psychophysical nature accordingly, the spiritual master, he engages his disciples according to their particular nature.
So my question is, we see that Lord Chaitanya, he rejected Varnashram Dharma and just said, go directly to Sarvadharman Parityaja. So, and surrender yourself. So it seems like, you know, beyond that physiological nature, right? There is this idea of surrendering to your guru, like you submit yourself to a guru, even if you're a Vaishya, you're a Brahmin, whatever you are, you submit to the guru, and the guru starts to really engage you. It seems to be, there's a higher principle. I mean, right now we're talking more or less about Varnashram.
No, that is the highest principle. That's always there. The guru, submitting to the guru is the starting of the surrendering process. The devotional service starts at that point, surrendering. Krishna says, Tadviddhi Pranipatena. You must surrender to the pure devotee spiritual master, and you take his instructions as your heart and soul. Whatever instructions he gives you, he's analyzing you, he's figuring it out, and then he gives you the instruction that do like this. So, you have to follow the instruction of the guru rather than try to make your own decisions. That is independent nature, if you try to make your own decisions. But if you follow, submit to the guru and let him make the decisions, then that is the best.
I remember Kratu Prabhu, he was talking to me not too long ago, a few months ago, and he told me that he had graduated from college with a master's degree in engineering. So he was so excited, and he brought the diploma to show Srila Prabhupada. So when he showed the master's diploma to Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, look at it, I've gotten that. And then Prabhupada said, there are enough engineers in this world. He said, we need our devotees that are willing to surrender and spread Krishna consciousness. And then Kratupru told me he went home and threw the diploma in the trash. And his wife was like panicked because they had two small kids at that time. But he said, no, Prabhupada wants me to preach. His daughter was like 10 years old or something, and she took the diploma out of the trash. She said she gave it back to him like 10 years later. But what Kratupru told me is they lived very simply. They moved into an ashram room. And they submitted, and they went and started doing books, distribution, and preaching, very similar to you and your wife, except you seem to have kept your business.
Yes.
But Kratu Prabhu, what he told me was his kids suddenly started to score so well in school, and he told me both his kids became multimillionaires. He said, so now he said his kids are willing to give him anything he needs to spread Krishna consciousness. So he said by surrendering to Prabhupada's instruction, it seemed like his life improved dramatically. But for most of us, it seems like unreasonable, and it's very frightening, and it's almost like a type of fanaticism.
Okay, so this is a very nice, what you are mentioning about Kratu Prabhu, it's a very nice story. That he, because he surrendered to the desire and instruction of Prabhupada, he achieved very good result. So that's always there. If you follow the instruction of the spiritual master, you can never go wrong. Very good.
So you would recommend that? Because today, nowadays, we have a number of gurus, senior men, but many of them have thousands of disciples. I think Jaipataka Maharaj now has 60,000 disciples. So it seems like that personal interaction with the guru is no longer present within our movement, or it is, but it's not as so defined.
We cannot make the judgments like that. Whatever the spiritual master is, if it's Jayapataka Maharaj, he knows his job. He has received his instructions from Prabhupada. He's acting according to the instructions he received from Prabhupada. He is initiating 60,000 disciples, so he knows how to handle them, and he's doing a very good job. So we cannot criticize any guru or any disciples in ISKCON movement. Whatever they are doing according to the instruction of their spiritual master. And we have to just see that we follow the instruction of our spiritual master. Mm-hmm.
So, but in the case where one, say, like in my example, where a person, their guru's passed away, or like in your example where Prabhupada's passed away, or if somebody's guru has left, or, you know, situations like that, what would you recommend?
When the guru has left the planet, then if you can remember the instructions that the guru gave you, then you try to follow those instructions to your best ability. That is called serving in separation. That is Vani Seva. Vapu Seva is you when the guru is present and you serve him physically, personally, as his menial servant. That is the Vapu Seva. And then you, after the guru leaves the planet, you serve his instructions. So what you have learned from him, what instructions he gave you, you take your life accordingly and make it the mission of your life. That somehow I have to make my guru happy, and for that I am doing all my activities to make my spiritual master happy. The instructions that he gave me, the most important instruction the guru gives is the chanting of the minimum 16 rounds and avoiding the offenses, offenseless chanting, and following the regulative principles, following bhakti yoga process. That is the main instruction. That's a common for all the gurus. And then there may be particular instructions about how to run your family life, how to run your professional life, or how to become a full-time devotee or part-time devotee, etc. Those are the other instructions. So you follow all these instructions to your best ability.
It seems to me that most of us, we cannot get everything that we need from our initiating spiritual master. It seems like at a certain point you need Shiksha Gurus. You need more. I mean, maybe in a rare case, like I would say, okay, Prabhupada may have given everything to all of his disciples. But I think for many of us, you know, we need further instruction. We're maybe separated, you know, in terms of country or communication or by death. You know, so would you recommend...
We don't need separate instructions from any other guru. The spiritual master, he is perfectly giving you the full instruction, your initiating guru he gives you. But if you have any kind of... you need more help and your guru has left the planet, then you can have Shiksha Guru who is very close to your initiating guru. And he will say the same thing that your guru is going to say. Because he is so close, the Shiksha Guru is so close to your initiating guru that he will compliment and he will explain it further. If you need some help, then the Shiksha Guru can help you. But it's not like your guru did not give you enough. He gave you enough, but there sometimes the disciple can have some more questions than he can get the answers from the Shiksha Guru.
I mean, would you recommend the culture of Shiksha Guru, you know, amongst, within our movement, you know, is a more prominent aspect of our movement as opposed to just the Diksha Guru-disciple relationship?
No. It's not. First of all, it's not for me to decide. And secondly, the scriptures and Prabhupada, he has very... made everything very crystal clear, the role of the initiating spiritual master and the role of the Shiksha Guru. And in ISKCON movement, Prabhupada is the main Shiksha Guru for everybody. So these things are very clear cut, that if you need Shiksha, where to get the Shiksha from? If you want the Diksha, where to get the Diksha from? And your Diksha Guru can be also your Shiksha Guru also. He can be a combination of Shiksha and Diksha because your main instructions are coming from your Diksha Guru, initiating Guru. And then the complementary instructions can come from the Shiksha Guru. All right. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.